What is up, everyone? Hello and welcome to the Lost Levels Podcast. This is podcast number 228. Holy, oh my gosh, that's just a giant number. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, everyone. My name is Spider Staryu. I will be leading you through this podcast today. Today's podcast is all about Kirby and the Amazing Mirror. Yes, that classic. Well, I guess it's classic because it was like 12 years ago. So yeah, classic game for the Game Boy Advance that released so long ago. It is an amazing game. It's awesome. Just as the title says, Amazing Mirror, it's an amazing game. But we'll explain more about the game before we get started. But let's just introduce everyone. Like I said, I am Spider Staryu. I'm hosting today. And today I am joined by the juiciest people around. All right, I scrambled up the juiciest people ever to join this podcast. We have Super Zambazy.
Today I am
direct from the
I'm not from the jungle. This time I'm from the world of Kirby. I'm bonkers today.
Oh, bonkers. Oh, right. Darn, I should have made you that for the artwork. We have... No, this person's direct from the jungle. We have Soul.
I want to stick my head in a vat of acid.
You didn't already?
Banana acid.
That's not a thing.
Oh, shit.
It's citric acid. Banana. Nothing.
Okay, well, whatever. We have Soul. And then, returning after 2,000 episodes, we have the PSI user Timmy.
Hey, what's happening?
Yes, the best nest in Canada is joining us. For Best Nest in Canada for Super Smash Bros. Is joining us for the podcast. Hello, Timmy. What is going on with you? How are you?
I'm doing great. I've been going to more Smash tournaments. I'm actually ranked in Montreal. I'm number 12 on the power rankings here. Ooh. So that's really exciting. And, you know, like now, like since the last time I was on here, I'm in college now. And, like, I'm growing up way too fast. I'm growing up so fast.
Oh, my God. Last time Timmy was on, he was like a little kid. Now he's a big adult. Oh, my gosh. But we're gonna talk more with Timmy about that later on during What Have You Been Doing. But now, let's get into the podcast, Kirby and the Amazing Mirror. Now, I prepared a little explanation about the game, so here we go. Here's a little explanation about Kirby and the Amazing Mirror. Here's, like, the basic plot, first and foremost. So there is a mirror world that exists in the skies of Dreamland. It is a world where any wish reflected in the mirror will come true. However... One day, oh my god, it only copies evil minds and rapidly changes into the world of evil. Meta Knight notices this and flies up to save the mirror world. Meanwhile, Kirby's taking a walk when Dark Meta Knight appears. Before Kirby can react, Dark Meta Knight slices Kirby! I should have had a knife. Oh my god. Slices Kirby in four, and Kirby becomes four different colored Kirbys. They chase after Dark Meta Knight and enter the mirror world. The two Meta Knights fight each other, and the real Meta Knight is defeated, and he is knocked into the mirror, which is then cut into eight fragments by Dark Meta Knight, which is then scattered across the mirror world. The four Kirbys must work together and embark throughout the mirror world, collecting all eight mirror fragments to rebuild the amazing mirror and save Meta Knight and the mirror world. Woo! Man, I should be a storyteller. Anyway, Kirby and the Amazing Mirror was released for the Game Boy Advance back in October 18th, 2004. That was 12 years ago. But that was here in North America. In Europe, it was July 2nd, 2004. So they got it first. Anyway, it's now re-released on the Nintendo eShop on the Wii U ever since April 2014. So after listening to this podcast, if the game sounds interesting to you, you should absolutely go pick it up on the eShop. I believe it's only like $9.99, so like $10. It's a really great game. You won't regret it. You should absolutely consider getting it because it's an amazing game. Like I said in the beginning, amazing mirror, amazing game. Anyway, let's just get right into the questions. So I prepared some questions for these Waddle Don'ts today. And here are some of the questions we have. When did you first hear about the game? Did you buy it when it came out? And if not, when did you buy it? So who wants to answer this question first?
I'll go.
Yes.
pardon me. The first time I heard about it was probably around, like, when I was in, like, grade 6. So that was back in, like, when I was in 2010, when I was, like, 12.
Oh, my God.
And, like, yeah, I know. my friend, it was the last day of school. He brought his Game Boy Advance. He was playing Amazing Mirror. I heard about it then. And, like, I thought it was really interesting because there were four Kirbys and there were, like, so many more abilities compared to, like, Nightmare and Dreamland.
Oh, yeah.
And then after, like, maybe a month during the summer, I bought the game myself and I had a blast with it.
Yes, you bought it that same summer?
Yep.
Oh, awesome. Alright, Soul, how about you, Soul?
I don't remember the first time I heard about it because I have a really bad memory when it comes to stuff like this, but I remember you, Star, you talked about it all the time, so that counts as something.
I love this game a lot.
No, what was this thing? Oh, the first time I ever, like, encountered the game was the Ambassador Program for the 3DS, if you remember that. Because I don't know how else I got on my 3DS, because I don't remember buying it. Yeah, I got the game through the Ambassador Program, so I had Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, and I didn't like it, and, spoiler alert, I didn't love it after finishing it, so, yeah. But, I mean, it's a game. It's a Kirby game.
Soul always brings the positivity to the podcast. So
you know, usually that's the case, but not today.
Well, anyway, Super Zambazi, when did you first hear about it?
I don't know if I heard about it before the Ambassador Program, because that is where I got it, and that's where I tried to play it for the first time. I just played it now for the second time, as in second attempt to play. But I think I may have heard of it back in one of those Nintendo catalogs that you'd pick up in the store. It's possible I saw it in there. I know Staryu knows what I'm talking about. Like, you'd go to Target,
yes,
and they had, like, free, take one, and they just have these really cool pages, or, like, pretty much, yes, advertisements for all their games, upcoming games, and has got cool art, and
Of course I remember that.
Yeah, they don't make them anymore. But that's probably where I saw it for the first time. Because back then, I was not... Back then, currently, and probably in the future, I am not a Kirby person. I've only played Kirby Triple Deluxe, and then this game. So I've never followed any of the games, so I don't think I've ever seen it before.
Alright, well... First and foremost, y'all are late bloomers, okay? I first heard about this game back in 2004. Alright, serving old retro realness. I heard about this game the long time ago, because I've been a Kirby... We all know this. I've said this before, but for the new viewers who might be listening, I'm a big Kirby fan. I love Kirby. I've loved Kirby since I was a little kid, since the Game Boy days, like when Kirby Dream Land was out. I didn't play it, of course, back in 1992. I wasn't born then. But I did play it on the Game Boy when I was a little kid. I played Smash Brothers. I played Kirby Air Ride. All the Kirby games that could be out. Kirby and the Crystal Shards. I played all those games. Nightmare and Dreamland. I played all of them. So when I heard about this game coming out for the Game Boy Advance, I was like, I have to get it. So I kept begging my mom for it. And lucky for me, this game came out like October 18th, back in 2004. So, my birthday's October 11th, so, you know, I'm just like, Mom, can I get it for my birthday? She's like, oh, yeah, why not? And then, like, a week later, they got it, like, the day it came out, my dad went to the store, he got it, he came home, and was like, oh my god, it's Kirby, oh my god! And, like, I was careful, I didn't, like, rip it open, but I opened that box, and was like, oh my god, we need to play this, like, right now. And I was just obsessed with the game. I kept playing it until I went to bed. Went to school the next day, kept playing it till I went to bed. Once I came home, kept playing it till I went to bed. I was obsessed with this game. I just loved it. So I love this game to death. So I heard about it back in October 2004 when it came out. So I am the original. I'm the OG of Kirby and the Amazing Mirror. Yes, yes. You guys are so late with this game, but you better late than never. That's how I say it. Better late than never, because this is an amazing game, and we're going to talk a lot more about it. Regardless of what Soul says, Soul, you will deal with it. So anyway, let's move on for the next question. Did you find this game to be challenging? If so, which parts? Timmy, you first.
I had a few challenging moments. Like, I remember I think in Radish Ruins where you fight, spoiler alert, the Dark Mennonite. Like, where you had to use the sword, because I'm really not a big fan of using the sword ability. I just don't find it that fun to use. And, like, just having, like, the sword fight, it wasn't my cup of tea. And, like, plus, he actually blocks your attacks, so that's kind of annoying. And I guess the final boss was also a bit challenging. If you're not using the Master Sword and you're not spamming, like, the drill thing, because you're invincible while using it. And it was a bit challenging if you're not using the Master Sword, but otherwise, the Master Sword's there for a reason. And it does make it somewhat easier.
I guess I can just go next. What part was challenging? I don't think this game was really that challenging, to be honest. I think some areas where there's a lot of spikes... Like, okay, let me say this. The parts that were challenging were usually in Olive Ocean for me. Olive Ocean is this place where, as the name says, you're in the ocean.
Oh god, water levels.
Yes, water levels, yeah. With Olive Ocean, it's just, that's, it's not really like the worst and the worst ever. It's just, it's really annoying. Water levels where it's like, you're going so slow, and like these enemies just fly into you, and then you lose your ability and you can't get it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying. And with all the spikes around, especially, that's, oh, it gets, Olive Ocean gets really annoying. So I find that part to be challenging, just in the sense that when you lose your ability, you know, that's it. But the boss for that level is so easy. Oh my god. What's it called? What's his name? Timmy,
it's,
do you know
the shark dude. I know it's the shark dude.
Yeah, I know it's the shark dude. I don't, what's his name?
It's supposed to be Gobbler.
Gobbler. He's so easy. Okay, let me give you... let me just say this. This podcast is going to contain some spoilers. So if you don't want to be spoiled, just skip ahead like a couple minutes and you won't be spoiled. So this podcast will have a little bit of spoilers. For Gobbler, to beat Gobbler so easily, all you need to get is a stone ability. And don't lose that. Don't lose it. Try your best not to lose it. Just don't lose it. And just as soon as the boss starts, use the stone, drop down. He's dead instantly. He just dies instantly. So you can just beat him so easily. Huh. I mean, it's not a hard boss and hard boss to begin with, but just you get the stone, bam, he's dead. It just keeps hitting him over and over and over again. He's gone. So, but yeah, Olive Ocean has some of the most hardest level design, I think, for me personally. But yeah, that's my answer.
As for me, Olive Ocean, I feel like it's almost like consistent, at least with earlier Kirby games, where water levels are just not fun, and Olive Ocean was not fun to me. I didn't really enjoy it. I don't really remember a part in it where I enjoyed it, and I know it's, the question is challenging, but I mean, I didn't enjoy it because it was reasonably challenging and just kind of boring. And the other one was, I don't remember the specific, like, part, but I remember just being overwhelmed by enemies at one point in Mustard Mountain. I don't know why, but I keep getting Mustard Mountain and Roush Ruins confused. Mustard Mountain, I didn't really love. It was just meh. It played like a normal Kirby game for the most part, because I think it's the most linear of the world, you know, areas. So, I mean, I guess that's, I feel like it's almost like, hypocritical for me to say I didn't like it, but I faced a lot of challenge, that's the word, okay, here, I faced a lot of challenge with the enemies in Mustard Mountain at points, otherwise it was just okay, but, Olive Ocean, yeah, I can agree, no thank you.
Alright, SC?
Staryu, oh, no. I have to say something.
Oh no.
What, did I do something?
No. I feel like such a jerk saying this, but not really, but kind of. I didn't like this game.
Oh, I didn't like
what?
It.
What?
I really didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean,
it.
As you're on the same side.
And I was trying to make it as positive as possible, but I really did not like this game. So, and I need to be upfront about that, because I'm looking at these questions, I'm like, I don't have that many good things to say, unfortunately. So when it comes to, did you find this game challenging? In terms of difficulty, like bosses, enemies, no, it was not challenging. In fact, It was really easy at times. In fact, there were a lot of bosses, like you said, the shark one. Actually, that's the one where I was kind of like, I didn't have the rock ability, so it took a little bit, like just a little more effort. But there were a lot of bosses where you'd go in and... Like the tree one, I just ran up, slash.
Yeah.
Dead. Okay. And there were multiple bosses like that. So it was easy on that front. But in terms of challenging, I really, really did not like the like open world, explore at your own will, that kind of thing.
Pretty much the same thing with me. Literally the only time I ever faced a challenge technically was getting lost. And then the few times where I just get overwhelmed with enemies. It was because I wasn't, when I first played the game, I'm not used to that sort of style, so I'm sitting here like, I don't know where to go. Like, I think I got from, like, Rainbow Route to, like, Peppermint Palace. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, what am I supposed to do? Yeah, it was confusing.
Yeah, I know we have a question on it coming up, but just that whole, like, idea, all my challenges stem from that, and I think, I don't like that itself, so the challenges I found in the game are kind of like... I don't think they're not appropriate, but I don't think they're fair, I guess. But yeah, that's what I have to say so far.
I mean, it's fine. Everyone has a different opinion. I'm not going to be mad that you have an opinion. But number one, number two, I don't know. First and foremost, there's not a tree boss in this game. His name is King Golem, and he's not a tree, okay?
He's a pillar.
Thanks for confusing people on the podcast. Not a tree. He's a, he's King Golem. He's not a tree.
Well, we all know what he's supposed to be. Well,
if you don't play this game, you don't know.
Well,
anyway, moving on to the next question. The style of this Kirby game, traversing a large interconnected map, requiring certain abilities to access special areas, aka being similar to Metroid, Castlevania, they have the similar style of that, was very unique, as opposed to the level design they've been using as of late. Would you like to see something like Amazing Mare return in the future? So, Soul, SC, why don't you guys just go ahead and start first, because I know you're not going to say anything positive.
Actually, okay, I actually do like, you know, they call it the genre is Metroidvania. I actually kind of like it. Like, I'm not the biggest fan, but I actually kind of like the original Metroid. So it's nothing like, you know, it wasn't the style of the game, because with that, the original Metroid, I don't know, I didn't feel as lost. This one, I felt like, you know, these segmented areas, you know, usually you see segmented areas like this, especially in a Kirby game, in a more linear sense. So I didn't get what I was supposed to do for a while, and especially with this game, I feel like there was no order for where you're supposed to go for the most part. But like, I'm sitting here like, I don't, like, am I doing this wrong? Like, sometimes, like, you know, I Mustard Mountain was like the third air mirror shard I got, I think, I don't remember, because I played a lot of the game like all in one go, and then I finished it like after a week. Like, I was on one of the last worlds, so I don't really remember the logistics of it. But yeah, it's not even so much the genre. I don't think this was the right fit for a Kirby game.
Yeah, I'm gonna go off what you said. I don't think it was a fit for the Kirby game as well, because like Super Metroid, I really like Super Metroid and the way they used it there. But here, I feel like it didn't fit. It's like in Metroid, a lot of it is about exploration and discovering this world, whereas here it's not really about discovering the world. It's just I'm trying to complete this area. I'm just trying to get through this to get to the end. And I noticed a pattern as I was playing. It was basically search for an opening to one of the areas. You get there, and if you follow like the normal path, that like if you don't take any like the hidden paths, you will end up going to the map or to the goal, like where the warp star is, which, side note, why on earth do those even exist? I found those so pointless.
What?
When you're in an area and you reach the warp star and you do the little mini game and then you're back at the start.
But didn't they give you something at the end of the minigame?
You might collect
the point of doing those mini games is to collect one-ups and other stuff. That's the point of the game.
Well, they don't. I forgot what they did.
See, like, that's nice and all, but then I would get back and I'm like, I'm back in the middle. I'm like, dang it, I have to go through that entire world again just to get to the boss that the only thing I actually wanted to do.
Well, the point of this game is to explore everywhere. That's
different areas. His point was he already explored this all, so now he has to go all the way through it again.
Yeah, like, and that was the pattern I saw. You would get to the area, you would explore, like, the main path, and that would not lead you to the boss, and then you'd come back, and you'd have to redo some of that just to go to here. And like, for Super Metroid, I'm okay. Zip it, phone. I'm okay with, like, searching, exploring the same areas, because I really enjoy that world, and I'm exploring there. Here, I'm just trying to get to the end, and going back to the same level is not very interesting for me. I'm going to stop, because we need some positivity up in here.
Okay, so going off of what SZ said, I kind of agreed that, like, the goal minigames were kind of pointless, because it's not a linear Kirby game, but, like, in terms of the exploration, I kind of liked it, because it offered a lot more to explore. But I also felt that, like, if you didn't have the map, you were basically wandering around in circles and wondering, okay, how do I get this map in the first place? But then once you actually get the map, it's relatively easy to get through. Although, sometimes you do need some abilities, and, like, you probably have to go, like, to some other area just to get that one ability and get to that other area. So I wouldn't mind if they did this again, but maybe just, like, give you the map as soon as you reach the new area.
Oh my god, there's so much negativity. I can't, I swear, it's gonna seem like I'm like shoved up Kirby's mouth or something when I go on and speak about this. Wow, I was not expecting all of that, but okay.
I mean, like, I personally kind of liked it was like a Zelda game. Like, you actually had like collectibles and like you can increase your max HP and change colors, but like, just it was easy to get lost, basically.
I mean, I see all the flaws with this game. It's just, to me, I ignore all that. I don't see those goals as pointless. I don't see this traversing as pointless. I see it as you have to get collect everything of the game. There's so many collectibles in this game. There's spray paints. There's the music notes to collect all the music notes. There's getting all the chests and getting everything, period. That's the point of the game. I thought that's, everyone understood that, but I didn't know people thought it was pointless to go to those goals and whatnot. The point is to get all the collectibles in the game. There's tons of collectibles spread out, especially in the goal area. There's tons of spray paints. There's things like that. That's the point of going in those areas, so you can get like a special spray paint. So next time you turn on a game, you can be like, okay, I want to be this Kirby. I just got this spray paint, so I'll use this.
I think
that's why they have those things there. And who? Someone's gonna say something.
I just want to quickly mention that I think it's also important your mindset, because the game, when it begins, it throws you into this world, and you kind of don't know what to do. And for some people, that they'll find that really cool and interesting, that you have to kind of figure it out on your own. Unfortunately for me, I got frustrated with it. So my mindset from then on out was like, okay, I just want to finish this game. I don't want to do collectibles, blah, blah, blah. So if you're going in not wanting to do collectibles, you just want to fight the bosses and beat the game, I think that's a bad approach to this game. But if you take that approach, you're not going to like it as much, because you will end up taking detours on accident, and it's not going to be fun if you're not enjoying replaying the levels. Because that's really important. You have to be able to enjoy coming back to the same level and doing something a little different. If you don't enjoy that, you're not going to have a fun time, because you just do that a lot in this game. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's move on to the next question. I don't know what else to say. What's your favorite copy ability? What's your least favorite copy ability?
Oh my god, I have quite a few that I really like, though. My favorite one, probably hands down, has to be Smash. Just because, like, it is so versatile, and, like you can use it in so many scenarios. Like say you need to cut a rope, you can use your up B for that. If you need to trigger one of the pegs for the hammer, you have the hammer or the stone for that. And it's basically a mix of stone, fighter, sword, and hammer. And it's just amazing.
Okay, my favorite, I guess it's kind of the cop-out, because, yeah, that's right. The Smash one is, you know, the most versatile, and it's like Super Smash Brothers, and I play a lot of Super Smash Brothers, so, you know, I know his moveset, and despite being so versatile, you pretty much know how to play as him if you do play Smash Brothers, so it's just easy to go with it. But one of my consistent favorite Kirby abilities is the ice, and it's kind of a classic, but I also really like ice. And then I'm just gonna answer, you know, my least favorite is, Bomb Kirby, because I don't like Bomb Kirby. The only time I ever liked Bomb Kirby was in Kirby Triple Deluxe. I don't know, they changed something about him, or I think it was the Bomb Roll that they added, and I really liked that, but I don't like him in this one. I don't like playing as it in Amazing Mirror, and I don't like playing it as it in many other games either, but Ice, of course, is like a classic to me, and Smash was a really good addition, and I'm glad that... I think this is the first time they ever included it, so, yeah.
Okay. First and foremost, my favorite ability is UF freaking O.
Oh, yeah, that one too, man.
I love UFO. That's why... I think I talked about this in the other podcast. I did a podcast with someone else. His name is Kirby Vault. We did a podcast about Kirby Planet Robobot. And they had, like, abilities like UFO. And in this game, like, I think it's one of the... I don't know if, like... I think Kirby Nightmare and Gym Land had it, but I don't care. Whatever. Yeah, it did? Okay, well, anyway, this... I love this ability so much. It is so powerful. It's so strong. It's so easy to float around and stuff. It's just an amazing ability. I love it. Second, really close second, is Smash. Oh, my God. Let me tell you, a little 8-year-old boy playing this game... And seeing Smash Kirby, it got me so excited when I played this. It was so exciting to see Smash Kirby. Like, just something so similar to Smash. Like, I played Super Smash Bros. Melee, and no shade, we know Kirby was terrible in that game.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. Understatement. But, you know, still, it's Smash Kirby, so it was like, it got me so excited. I love it so much, and I still love that ability. It's such an amazing ability. It's so, such great, it's such great homage to Smash Brothers, the Smash Brothers series. So, I love it, I love it, I love it. So, yeah, first is UFO, second is Smash. My least favorite, I was going to say Sleep, but I think that would be too obvious.
Yeah,
to say
it doesn't something like count. Sleep.
So, I'm going to say my least favorite is Tornado. And here's why. Tornado is such a weak ability, and it sends Kirby just, like, spinning in circles, and sometimes it's hard to hit enemies. It's definitely useless on bosses, because
yes.
Once you're done spinning around, you're going to get hit. So,
actually... I'm actually going to disagree. I actually really like Tornado just because you're moving around. Like, you're actually invincible while you're doing it. Like, that's the whole purpose of Tornado.
But it's not a fun ability to even play with. I just...
That's just my opinion.
Although I will admit, if you're using it against bosses, basically, like, a cheap cop-out to, like, easy hits, so...
Well, which is... I think it's Wheel. When you, like, use Wheel and then you spin around, you get hit by the boss. So that I think that's what I'm talking about.
I think
about.
Wheel, probably because you're just more limited to ground. Tornado, you can drift around more easily.
Okay, well, Tornado and Wheel for me personally, that's just eh. Also, a lot of people, I don't know, did you guys say Laser for your least favorite? Because did you guys say Laser for your least favorite?
No.
My least favorite is Mini.
Mini? Oh yeah, Mini, I forgot about that ability.
That's like, aside from the obvious sleep, because that one's meant to hinder you, Mini is like, you can't fly with it, and like, you can't do your usual Kirby things, no thank you.
Yeah,
Mini, I'm glad that wasn't in the game, but I'm just saying, I said Laser, I like Laser a lot, but I'm just saying, because I was like talking to my friends, and everyone says like, oh, I don't really like Laser, Laser's really weak, and I'm just like, what, I like Laser, it's such a great projectile ability. Do you guys feel that way? Do you guys like the projectileness of that ability? I just wanted to ask you guys. That's it. Okay.
I like it,
It was fine.
Okay.
Okay. And also, one thing, like, I put UFO a second. The only reason I put it a second is because if you take it back to the main area, you unfortunately lose it, so... Or you go to the goal somehow.
You mean UFO?
Yeah, for UFO.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. It's funny, the other Kirby's, one of the other Kirby's that... got slashed out of Kirby, the yellow one, the green one, the red one, they can get the UFO in the hub worlds. They can have the UFO, but, like, you for some reason can't. I guess maybe they felt like it was too cheap. I don't know. But whatever. Also, yeah, that's my answer.
Speaking of that, like, that also reminds me, the other Kirby's and the AI is honestly just so horrible in most cases. especially if you're around spikes or something. You're gonna get hit every time, like, why are you here? Like, do you even know how to fly? Please?
You have to be so selective with using that ability anyway.
I see. Go ahead.
Okay, I thought my internet was cutting out, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk over someone. Yeah, okay, so the copy abilities. I ended up using Bomb almost all the time because it was just very
literally
powerful.
Disgust.
And you can throw it really far and you can throw it upwards.
I hate
and it was really effective in most situations. I also I don't know, that's the one I usually stuck with, but I liked Ice, I liked Wheel, I liked... Oh, when you guys were talking about Smash, when I first got that... I only got it once, but when I first got that, I was like, Smash? Oh, what? Is this like Fighter? And then I did the hammer. I'm like, oh, is this like Smash Brothers? I did the up B. I was like, oh, wow. And then there was one other move. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's like Smash Brothers. And that reminds me, are the two hands, Crazy Hand and Master Hand, they're not from Kirby, are they?
No. They're not originally from Kirby.
No, they're actually from Smash Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Smash Brothers came out on Nintendo 64. I forgot what year, but anyway. And then, you know, this game came after that, so.
Okay. Okay, and then some of the ones I wasn't a big fan of. Oh, and UFO, I only got it once in the Candy Constellation.
Yeah, well, that's usually don't get that ability that much anyway.
Exactly.
In a Kirby game.
Yeah, so
it's rare. It's rare.
Didn't get to play with it too much. I did not like Cupid. I don't like how that one controls. It just feels weird. And I definitely didn't like the parasol. I need to be able to control my jumps, and that was not letting me.
Parasol's better in the future Kirby games, but in this one, it's just, parasol's kind of, I agree with you, it's like, every time like you try to jump and move around, it's just like, the parasol just opens up, and it's like, Kirby goes slow, it's like, oh my god.
Yeah. And then one more question about copy abilities, because again, I've only played Kirby Triple Deluxe and then this one, so I'm not really familiar. But the sleep ability, is that just meant to be like...
No, literally just hinders you. It doesn't even heal you.
So it's basically an obstacle. Like
squeeze squad, basically.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Did you guys like the hammer ability? You guys like the hammer ability?
I wish I used it more.
When you charge up the hammer.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could charge it up in this game. How do you... You just hold B?
Yeah, you press... You hold up. You hold up and you press B and you charge it up.
Oh, I of all people should have already known that. Speaking of which, did Darko play this game? Just out of curiosity.
Oh my gosh. He doesn't have the 3DS fairy to give him the game.
It's on the Wii U!
Well, yeah, it's on the Wii U, so yeah, that's fair. I guess he has no excuse. Boo.
Oh, boo.
Also, like, speaking of hammer, speaking of the hammer, though, I one thing I found fun about the smash hammer, at least, because, like, when you hit that, when you hit someone with the smash hammer, like, you just side B, and, like, they go flying, but, like, if you hit them in the wall, you can just keep hitting them with the hammer repeatedly and over. It's so satisfying.
That's the cool thing also about it, is the hammer, the way Kirby moves the hammer for the smash is different than how he uses just the normal hammer ability. Like, with the hammer, he just... drops it down, but for the hammer he like swings it, so it's so cool with the smash ability. It's really unique. I like it a lot. All right, let's move on to the next question. Favorite world. So we're gonna say our favorite world, and we're also gonna play the track to that world, the world that we like the most. So everyone get ready. Sol, you're gonna be going first, if it's all right with you. So would you like to go first and share your track?
I mean, do you want me to play the track first and then, like, talk about...
Play the track first and then say the name of the track. Name of the world.
Yeah, so my favorite is, if you didn't know what that is, that's Radish Ruins. That's my favorite world, too. So, spoilers. But, yeah, Radish Ruins is my favorite, area. Honestly, I just like how it looks. Like, I'm not gonna be, like, lie, it's just I kinda like how it looks. I also really like his boss battle. I know people, you know, Meta Knight's battle already is kinda irritating. Yeah, I got it. But it was something, this was a difference I could appreciate. I'm not really a big fan of the whole different formula they had for Kirby, but something a little different was okay. But, what else? Yeah, it's a nice place. I don't know. I didn't like it, it's basically, I liked
you
it.
You like it?
No. Sorry, I didn't mean to say it like that. I liked it more than pretty much all the others. The only other ones I pretty much liked were Moonlight Mansion and Candy Constellation. Yeah, those are pretty much the only ones. So, I liked it more.
Let me talk about Radish Ruins. Okay, Radish Ruins... It's Ruins, right? Not Ruin? I always forget that.
Yes,
Ruins,
yeah. Yes.
Radish Ruins... Honestly, what weird thing about this world is I can remember everything by the top of my head. I can remember, without having the map, because usually for most worlds, I sometimes forget. But because I played this game so much, I can literally remember Radish Ruins perfectly. Like, I can go through every mirror, I can find the perfect mirror I need to go to get the switch. Because the switches, yeah. I love the switches. Oh my
god. Yeah, I know.
I post all about Miiverse, so you should go check it out. Check out my Miiverse at Spider-Star. You can check it out. I post a bunch of stuff about Kirby, Amazing American, switches and stuff. So I love finding the switches and stuff and things of that nature, and it's just really easy for me to traverse through Radish Ruin. So even though it's not my favorite, it's all right. I like it.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have anything to say about Radish Ruins?
SZ, you don't have anything to say?
Sounds like where all your trash would go, so yeah. That's nice. It makes sense that you'd pick that.
Trashish ruins?
Oh. No.
All right. Next, we have Essie. Go ahead with your track.
Okay. I was going to do Cabbage... I almost said Cabbage Carnival. Cavern. What is it called?
Cavern.
Cabbage Carnival.
I don't know. Because I like the music there, but for my favorite world, I really... Okay, play it first.
Oh my god, I love this!
Oh, wow, let's see. What a shock. The world I hate.
I don't really care for the song that much, but like the world is just so beautiful to look at.
Say the name of the world.
The name is Peppermint Palace.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's really cool. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Get it? No, I actually do like Peppermint Palace. I was just being sarcastic.
Yeah, it's a nice little place. It looks really nice. And I think I just remember enjoying it, at least. Like, I like Radish Ruins. I think that one you do a lot of, like, circling and just kind of trying to figure out where to, like, escape this cluster of rooms. Whereas,
yeah,
I don't really remember what you do in the ice one, but I just remember enjoying it. So that's, hey, that's a good thing in my book.
There's a lot of treasure inside Peppermint Palace. And also, a little spoiler, but there's some of my favorite spray paints are in this world. We have, what do we have? We have Snow, which, by the way, if you look in the artwork, that's it. I chose Snow Kirby. I love Snow Kirby. So yeah, that's it, Snow. And a grape spray paint is also in this place. So I love Peppermint Palace. It's up there. It's like my third favorite. Love it. Yeah. So now we have Timmy's track.
And as for my favorite world...
Oh my God!
I always love that bit. Anyway, like, my favorite world is Candy Constellation, just because yes. I really like how it looks, and, like, the space background is just so beautiful, and I just love fighting Master Hand and Crazy Hand for the bosses there. It's just great.
Of course, our biggest Smash fan will be having a Smash Brothers-related stage, kind of.
Obviously.
Sort of.
I love Candy Constellation. It's my second favorite. Well, actually, no, I think it's my number one favorite, just because I have so many memories of traversing through this level, and just because I love the music on this level. And also, like what Timmy said, Master Hand and Crazy Hand, you get the Smash ability, yes. Also, you get the UFO ability here, too, as well. Yep. So, yeah, it's a great place. Great music, and there's also lots of treasure in this place as well. So, it's a great world.
This is going to be a really... a dunce question.
If it's negative, don't say it.
Not negative, oh, it's a God. Question. It's so what's the Smash Brothers connection besides Crazy Hand and Master Hand?
Oh,
I meant that because that they're the bosses of this world, Master Hand and Crazy
Hand.
Oh,
okay. I'm like, is it the music? Is there a stage that I don't remember?
Oh, no.
Based on this? Okay.
No, I just meant that because they're the bosses of this world. Oh, okay. And also, you fight Master Hand previously in this world as well. So you fight Master Hand twice, kind of. So, yeah. Okay, now for this is my favorite track of the game, and here we go. All right, here we go. This is instant. If you play this game, you'll instantly recognize this. Here we go. Yes, we have Moonlight Mansion. Yes! Also, this boss plays in Carrot Castle, but we're talking about Moonlight Mansion. Moonlight Mansion is like one of the first worlds, after Rainbow Route, this is like one of the first worlds you go to in the game. In the first part of the game, it's the first world you go to. So I love, oh my God, I love this track so much. When I hear this track, instantly, I remember all my childhood memories of this game and everything of that nature. I just love this world a lot. And also, Moonlight Mansion's a pretty, you know, the background and stuff, it's nice. I really like the music and everything about this area. Yeah, does anyone have anything else to add?
I already mentioned like Moonlight Mansion. I mean, it's, to me, I know, I think it's one of the more easier, you know, it's an easy place. But it's pretty, I like it. And is this one with, the Golem King, right?
Yes, King yeah. Golem, not the tree.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Tree. This was the first place I went. Like, I think I went to Peppermint Palace first and got really lost, but I think I managed to get to, like, Moonlight Mansion was the first mirror shard I collected, so it's an easy world. I liked it.
Oh, that's right. That kind of annoyed me a little bit, that this was the first mirror shard you got? Shard you got, and... I was like, oh, I must have missed one in the rainbow route or whatever it's called. So I'm like running around and I try to find a mirror.
Oh my God. I swear to God.
Anyway.
I can't. All right, before we go into the last question, what's your guys' favorite spray paint? I want you to name more than one. More than one. Here we go. Me, Snow, Grape. Those are my two favorites. Name two. Soul, you go next.
Chocolate, and I think it's called just lime. I like lime.
There's no lime in this.
What's
game.
The green one?
Just green. It's either green or emerald. There's
emerald.
Okay. Lime was like, what the heck?
I don't remember what it was called. It was green.
Timmy, Timmy.
Mine are grape and ocean.
Awesome. Essie.
Green and snow. Snow sounded nice. I didn't unlock
Did
a single
snow?
One. Didn't you say there's a snow one or something?
Yes, snow.
Okay, I'll go with snow. I don't know. I didn't unlock a single spray can or whatever. You spray paint, whatever.
Oh my god. Gee, you didn't unlock a single one?
No, that's why when you were like, all right, make sure to tell me which spray paint you want. I'm like,
huh? Oh my god. I
of course.
Okay, let's move on. Oh, Timmy. Ooh. Shade City. Okay, let's move on to the last question. This is the last question. What's your overall rating and review of the game? And also, let me just say this to SC and Soul. If it's negative, that's totally fine. All right? If it's like you didn't really enjoy the game, you want to say it, that's totally fine. So just go first. Because if it's negative, you should go first. So we could bring it. We could brush out the negative with the positive. Go first.
I'll go first. Okay, wait, like a number? You want a number?
Yeah, give me a number and just basically what you thought about the game.
Okay, I'm gonna give it, like, a 6 out of 10. It wasn't bad, but as Z said, it was kind of easy, and the parts that were challenging mostly were because I got lost, or they were just, like, it just happened to be circumstantial. Like, that was it. I didn't really face much challenge, it wasn't really too excellent, and as much as I like Radish Ruins' music, and Candy Constellation, and I guess Peppermint Pals, I don't really like the music in it. And it's just an okay game, especially because it was on the GBA, and I don't like a lot of GBA games, spoiler alert. There are a few that I like, of course, I kind of like Pokemon Emerald, but, and I do like Mario and Luigi, the first one. I played, by the way, sorry, not to get into, what have you been doing, but I am playing that game, the first one, Super Star Saga, I think it's called, yeah. So, but other than that, yeah, I didn't have the most fun play this game, so, a 6 out of 10. Sorry, I know.
6 out of 10 is not that bad. Alright, SC, you go next.
So I do want to preface this with, like, there were moments where I was like, oh, you know what, I'm actually enjoying this, but then they would quickly turn into, yeah, what I said before. I'll give it a 5 out of 10. I would recommend it if you're a Kirby fan and you've played the other games. If you haven't played a Kirby game, I would not recommend this one. I would say go play a different one and then come and try this one and see what you think.
Timmy?
And I'll give it a 7.5 out of 10. Just because, like, obviously it was easy to get lost, but, like, I like the new concept they gave to this Kirby game. And also, like, say, like, compared to, like, abilities in, like, Nightmare and Dreamland, for example, like, these abilities felt, like, a lot more developed. Bosses also felt more developed. Like, you had more unique bosses like King Golem, Gobbler, freaking Moly. And,
what's the wizard, like, called? His name is just Wiz, I think.
Yeah, just Wiz. Cool. Yeah, that was also cool. Master Hand, Crazy Hand is also great. And, like, it just felt really good. And, like, it felt like a unique twist.
Alrighty. Okay, so now it is my turn. Alright, so... So you guys need to understand something. Maybe I am a little bit nostalgia blind, but you gotta understand something. I played this game when I was 8 years old. When I was just a little 8-year-old boy, I played this game, I loved it to death, and I still love it to death. So, you guys may notice flaws and stuff, but to me, I just see, like, one of the best games ever. Okay, I know it's gonna be cheesy as well, but the reason why I'm, like, a little about it, because this is, like, one of my most favorite games ever on the Game Boy Advance. Oh. It brings back so many memories, and it's my most favorite game ever, so when I hear negative things about it, I'm just like, oh, I like this game a lot. So... That's just personally how I feel. I really, really, really adore this game. It's one of my most favorite games ever. I can always play it and always get into it and just enjoy it and love it. So, that's just my thing with it. I love this game a lot. I would give this game a 9 out of 10, and that might be a little bit high, but you know what? That's okay, because that's my score. And I would recommend this game to even new Kirby players, because you know what? If you're a person who knows first and foremost that this game is about collectibles, getting everything on the map, exploring every area, getting all the collectibles. If you understand that when you first play, maybe you wouldn't be so negative about it when you play the game. If you're just trying to rush through the game, be like, oh my god, I don't care. Oh, I gotta get the boss, gotta go find the boss. Then, of course, you're not gonna enjoy the game, because you're just gonna care about finding where the boss is, and that's it. Which, if that's the case, then you should just go look up. You know what you should do? Go on Google and search up each and every single area, and you can just find the freaking map. Literally, if you search up the map of every area, it'll pop up on Google. People have already, like, made the map, so if you just want to just zoom through the game, then go ahead and do that. But if you're going to just enjoy the game itself and explore it and be calm with it, be quiet. Be calm with it and just explore, take your time, you'll love this game a lot. And this game, you can still speedrun it if you know all the areas, so I definitely recommend it. It's on the eShop, on the Wii U. You should definitely go pick it up if you're interested. Only $10, $9.99, at least in North America, I think. So it's not that expensive. It's a great game for only $10. You will love it. I hope. I thought SC and Soul would love it, but that's not the case. But I think you will love it. So just give it a chance. Hmm. All right, and before we move on to news, all right, I recently made a video about Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, and I asked some questions about the game, and I got some answers from some people, so I'm going to quickly just go through their answers really quickly, and then we'll move on to news, all right? All right. So PSI Squid Kid commented on my little questionnaire about Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, and this is what he said. His favorite spray paint is snow, ocean, and orange. He said, snow and ocean is so beautiful looking on Kirby and are my fave elements. However, orange is like the black Kirby orange is like the black Yoshi in Kirby. Everyone loves this color on Kirby. Okay.
No. His favorite track. False.
Okay, well, in Smash Bros. I see a lot of orange Kirbys. My favorite track is probably Moonlight Mansion. Yes! And Olive Ocean. The first one is so awesome to listen to when you first play the game, and it's so nice to start of what's to come for the rest of the game. Totally forgets Rainbow Route is the first world. And Olive Ocean has this sense of adventurous and hyperactiveness in Kirby that I love. You just gotta keep running to get those mirror shards or you fail and drown. And yeah, that is his answers. And his favorite copy ability is Smash. Yeah, Smash.
Yay.
All right, Smash Boo, which I think he's on MPL, I believe. He says yes. His favorite ability is Sword. And he says that because of the big variety of moves you can pull off in comparison to other abilities, or Parasol, simply because Parasol is such a ridiculous thing to have as a power-up, and it's amazing that it actually is one. His favorite spray paint is Emerald, because he thinks it's awesome on Kirby, and his favorite track is Cabbage Cavern! Oh my gosh! And he says he loves it, and it stands out from the rest. Alright, there you go. Matosh commented, he said that his favorite ability is UFO. He said it's always been his favorite. It's very strong, powerful, and easy to get around. He says his favorite spray paint is chocolate and grape because they're both food. Okay, I guess I can see that a little bit. Yeah, they are food, and he says it makes him hungry, and chocolate is a nice brown for Kirby, and grape makes Kirby look adorable. And his final thing, he says his favorite track is Moonlight Mansion. It's nice, and he remembers it when he was younger, and that's where he fought Dusk Golem. I think he meant King Golem. Yeah, King Golem. Yeah, and those are all the answers. So thank you everyone for sending in. Those are your answers. Thank you so much. And yeah, let's move on to news and community. That's it for Kirby and the Amazing Mirror. Let's move on to news and community. So we're gonna throw it to Soul, because Soul is a piece of work. Wow. So Soul, do the news.
I mean, it hit me in the face and it kind of hurt, so how dare. Yeah. So lately, there's been more Pokemans, so hooray, because Gamescom has been going on, and Gamescom always releases new news, and so there are five Pokemon. The first was a Fire Dragon Angry Explosion Turtle thing named Turtonator. It's Fire Dragon, and I forgot its ability, and it's actually really cool. I mean, it looks kind of silly, but I like how I actually kind of like that it looks silly. I know it's weird for me to even say that, because I'm definitely much more of a snob when it comes to looks, but like on Pokemon, but yeah, I like it. It's it's based off of some Hawaiian turtle, by the way, so fun fact.
I hate it.
Really?
Yeah. if you like it, I hate it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just not really interested in it. It's alright. It's not, like, an ugly, ugly Pokemon, but it's just, when I saw it, I'm just like, eh, don't really care too much about it.
And my friend, when it first was revealed, my friend sent me a picture, and I didn't know what it was at first, and I said, why'd you send me a picture of an angry pizza? because it kind of looks like an angry pizza. I don't know, I didn't really deliver it like a comedic, whatever, but yeah, it looks like an angry pizza to me. Does anyone else have anything to say on it? SZ?
A lot of these Pokemon, nothing. I just see them, and I already forget by the next day.
The angry turtle with the fire. It has the ability shell armor.
Oh, that's not going to help me. Ability.
You doesn't know what abilities are.
that's fair.
Oh, come on, please.
Okay, whatever.
Don't like it? Did you see it, Timmy?
Actually, no, I have not.
Have you seen the other four new Pokemon?
Actually, no, I haven't yet.
Well, I'm introducing them now to you then, because they were, literally, I think it was the day after. I don't know why they did that. They revealed one Pokemon, and then they revealed four new Pokemon. These four were two of them we've seen before, and actually three of them we did, and then one of them we never saw before. The first is Crabrawler, and it's a crab, but it, despite being a crab, it's actually a fighting type Pokemon, just pure fighting, not water fighting or anything, so take with that what you will. And it has the ability Hyper Cutter or Iron Fist, and Iron Fist will arguably be the better ability for it because Iron Fist is a very good ability.
I believe with Crabrawler, I think it's people at least say it's based off a coconut crab or whatever, and those crabs are not supposed to be in the water or something like that, so that's why it's not a water type, I think.
That'd be funny.
It's interesting looking. It's not the most interesting new Pokemon I've seen, but no. I think it's interesting. Yeah, I like its ability, Iron Fist.
Yeah. What were the other two? Okay, there's like a duo because we saw these two in Korokoro, and the first is a little sand pile with a shovel, and its name is Sandygast, and it's a ground ghost type, and it has the new ability called Water Compaction, and I'm not sure if it. Basically, when hit with a water-type move, the Pokemon's defense goes up by two, but I'm not sure if they take damage or not. It didn't look like it from the trailer that Sandygast takes damage, so it's actually a really, really good ability, especially...
Oh, so immune to water.
Yeah, so it's a really good ability, especially for, you know, a ground-type. And then its evolution is Palossand, and it has the same abilities, and it's just a castle. I don't hate them.
We talked about these Pokemon before, actually, and I think they're, like I said, I think they're both really cute, and even though they're just simply just a castle, a sandcastle, I just think it's really interesting. So I like them. I'm definitely going to be considering having them on my team.
I felt like, you know, mentioning names and stuff. The last one is Stuffle, which was Beware's pre-evolution, you know, normal fighting, Fluffy or Klutz, and I if you want to go look, I don't have it on the article because I'm literally just going off what I did with the article. Fluffy, I think it's like it takes damage from a fire type move as if it were super effective, so yikes.
That's a great ability.
Yeah, I know. Well Klutz isn't much better.
Fluffy, it takes half damage if you make contact with it, I believe.
That's okay then. Yes, you're right, because it was kind of, I remember when I was
I was like, it's not just a fire weakness that's added, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that would be so stupid.
Well, that would be Klutz absolutely isn't terrible. Much better. Like I was thinking of it more like, ooh, Klutz isn't a good ability, so Fluffy probably isn't either. Because I remember the fire type weakness. But yeah, what else was there? I mean, this is just brief mentioning. It's also Pokemon news. I think it actually might have ended already. I didn't keep track. But the Arceus event is ending very soon. So if you're gonna go get Arceus, you have to go to your local game store, whatever it be, you know, GameStop, EB Games, stuff like that. You have to go to there to get your Arceus for your Generation 6 games. And I've not done that, and I think it might be too late, so good for me.
I like Arceus. I have a question about that really quick. Is it...
What?
Whoa. Oh my gosh, who have I awoken? When you...
Who?
Not who. When you go to this GameStop, I can't focus. When you go to this GameStop, do you have to go in and talk to somebody, or can you do something wireless?
You have to go ask them and be like, "Hey, I'm here for the event," and then they give you a card, and then there's like a code on the back, and you use the code.
I was hoping that you could just
talk to them.
Drive up into the drive, like just park in front of the GameStop, and then just in your car, like, "All right, mystery gift." All right, and then head on out. Don't even walk in the store. Because I remember, Do you guys remember at Toys R Us for Animal Crossing Wild World? You'd have to go in and you can get the Mario items by bringing in your
I remember.
DS.
Oh my god.
So that's what I was thinking.
I remember it partially. Like, I remember going to Toys R Us because of Animal Crossing, but I didn't know why. Because
you didn't have to.
But they've always done that.
Yeah.
For Pokemon. With Pokemon, they've always done that where you would have to, like, go in and you'd have to ask them. Either they would give you a card for like the newer 3DS games, but for the DS games, they would have to take your DS and just they would have to have their own DS to transfer the thing to you, because they have.
Which is so stupid.
I remember I specifically remember with the Shaman movie. I went to Toys R Us. That was like years ago when I was younger. I went to Toys R Us, and then what happened was I saw the woman's 3DS. She had like a bunch of boxes filled with Shaman. So like there was a limited supply. So she luckily, she was on the last box, so I was able to get one, but I was like, oh my god, it's a lot of shamans. Oh, gee whiz. But yeah, they would have to go, they'd have to take your DS and transfer it to you. So yes.
That's really interesting.
Oh, the old days.
Lastly, some information that I thought was really cool was someone managed to do a model import of Bianco Hills from Super Mario Sunshine into Super Mario 3D Land.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm so excited because the Super Mario 3D Land hacking scene is really growing right now. It just kind of exploded out of nowhere, and people are doing some really interesting stuff, and I'm really excited to see what's next, because it's like that import, for example, and someone imported Bomb on Battlefield 2, and that one doesn't look as good, but it's still cool that you can do that. People are making custom levels already. It's lots of 3DS hacking in the works, so keep an eye out for that. I'm like so happy.
Supposedly, this is actually going to be like Bianco Hills is just going to be like one of many this importer is doing. So it seems like he's going to be doing more levels. You know, I'm hoping Peanut Park, even though that's going to be really hard to do, which is why I don't think it will be. That's why I don't think he will include it, because that's going to be hard to like import, because that had a whole bunch of special. I don't know, coding stuff, you know, special things that aren't really found in Super Mario 3D Land, so I don't think it'll be, if it is in there, it's not gonna be as good, so but Peanut Park is so I wish, you know.
It's making me want to play Super Mario Sunshine.
I'm eager to see what this person will do. If you want to see him on YouTube, by the way, it's MK7Tester, so no spaces, no nothing.
And the little hack that he's working on, the whatever he's going to release, I know it's supposed to be like two worlds, and it's called Super Mario 3D Land 1.5. So just
I did not see that.
Type that into like Google, and it's on gbatemp.net. That's where he's posting updates. He's got a lot of cool stuff on there. I'm so glad you brought this up, because it makes me so happy. I'm so fascinated by like hacking mods and stuff like that. So, woo.
Is that all the news?
Well, SZ, what about your news?
Oh, right. So we didn't have a podcast last week, but 2 weeks ago, we got a lot of info from GamesCon on Mario Party and a little bit on Paper Mario Color Splash. So I'll just start with Color Splash. They showed the full dark blue in level or whatever that was. Because I think at Comic-Con they had that too, but they cut it off. Here they showed up the whole thing. So if you want to go spoil yourself, I mean, go crazy. It's online.
Go crazy.
And then for Mario Party, we're actually going to do a podcast on Mario Party, so I'm not going to get into all the details. I'm just going to go over some really basic, important stuff. So we found out all the modes that are going to be in this game. It's hard to say exactly what's what, because it's still pretty vague, but we have something called Balloon Burst, I think it is.
Dark Boo is not going to get this game now.
Well, here's the catch, is that that's kind of like the classic mode for this game, where you have, like, you can set a number of turns, you play minigames after each turn, and apparently, according to some preview information from Mario Party or MarioFans.de, they said that it's very similar to classic mode, where you collect, you run around a board, you go to these balloons, and you trade coins for stars. So, I mean, and there's items and stuff like this. So, don't believe it until you see it, but...
Well, can you say that again? You just said that you collect balloons and you trade coins for stars.
Sorry,
what's the point
like,
of collecting balloons?
I think the balloons... I don't know. Maybe it's called Balloon Burst because you buy a balloon and it bursts into a star. I don't know. We need more information.
Okay, that's the idea. That's fine.
We'll talk more about it in the main podcast. And besides that, we just got a couple of new videos of footage. A couple of new mini games. And guys, the mini games look really good in this one. Like, they're always top notch in the recent Mario Party games, but here they're looking really, really good. I have not seen anything that I don't like.
I won't be buying the game. I'm sorry. I don't think I will be buying the game. I don't think I'll ever buy the game. Unless, you know, something breaks where it's like world-changing, game-changing, then maybe.
If it has online, you bet your butt you're buying this game.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting it. If it's online.
It has online. If it does have online, you bet you're going to get this game. Because I need to get revenge on you. Oh, wait, never mind. Sorry. Whoops. That was a long time ago.
Oh my goodness. But I think there won't be any online because they've seen all the modes and they've seen what's in the game. And no online. And last thing before we move on, again, we'll have a full podcast on this, so we'll get into details there. But they did release new group art and a box art that doesn't look like puke white. So, yeah.
Wow, that was wrong to say. Anyway. That is it for news and community. Let's move on to what have you been doing. Now, I'm wondering, Timmy, should you go first? Should you go last? What would you prefer to do? Because you have not been on in so long.
I'll go last, actually.
All right, you'll go last? All right, that's fine. So I will go first, I guess. Oh, my God. I don't even have anything prepared yet. But, yeah, I'll just go first. And if I have anything else to say, I'll just say it after. So, I've been sick these past few days. It's been really sucky. I hate being sick, especially in the summer where it's hot as hell. Being hot as hell plus being sick is not a good combination. It is the worst combination. Oh, it's disgusting. But I'm feeling a lot better today. A little bit sick, but I feel a lot better today. Thank God for the podcast. Oh my God. What else has been going on? I've been doing a lot of Smash Butter tournaments lately. On Smash Brothers Wi-Fi, not actual tournaments, not like Timmy. Timmy goes to the big leagues, the weeklies, things of that nature. I've been doing tournaments online, though, because I've just not have really time, much time to, like, go out and go, like, go in Manhattan and go to one of those tournaments. But, oh my God, can I just say this? I've been so stressed with playing with Jigglypuff lately. I have just been so stressed. I know Jigglypuff is a terrible character. And in this game, she's not the worst character ever in the whole ever, but she's really, really bad in this game. A little bit, I think, me personally, people always disagree with me, but a little bit better than in Brawl, in my opinion, because at least she has some kill moves now, she has some kill moves now, but still, it's just like the amount of shield damage in this game and the things of that nature, it's just, oh my God, Jigglypuff has been suffering. And I'm bringing this up because I made a lot of tweets recently about Bayonetta. Jigglypuff versus Bayonetta, and I'm just like, oh my God, nothing has ever stressed me out more than playing against Bayonetta when I'm playing as Jigglypuff, because I can't do anything. That witch twist or whatever the hell is keeps catching me, and then every time I go close, there's the witch time to make me go slow, and then just charges up a smash and kills me really early. It's so frustrating. I can't. And let me get this straight. I love Bayonetta, all right? I love that Bayonetta's in this game. I thought Bayonetta absolutely deserved to be in this game. Bayonetta is awesome. But she's just too strong. As some characters, it's just like, it's not even fair. I can't do anything against Bayonetta. What can I do? Unless you're not good at Bayonetta, then yes, I can clock the T on you. But if you're just really good at Bayonetta, I can't do anything. So it's really frustrating lately. And people, you know, I'm just bringing this up because I made a lot of tweets, like I said. I made a lot of tweets about this. And people bring up tears and things of that nature, but I'm starting to think tears really matter at times. Because I can't even. When I was doing those matches, I got so frustrated I wanted to throw the controller. That never happens. Alright, trust me. You could ask SZ and even Boo. Yes, I've had my sore loser moments. Yes. But I never wanted to throw my controller. And when I play those matches, I just get so frustrated. I'm just like, oh my God, I can't do a thing. What the heck? I can't hit you. I can't go after you. If I go near you, you're just going to use that witch thing. What's it called? The witch twist, whatever.
Witch twist, yes. Witch twist.
And then I'm just like, I can't do anything. And then you could easily zero to death me easily if I just keep doing that. Get me in the air. And Jigglypuff's really light, so it's really easy to do that. Oh my God, just please, Bayonetta needs to chill. Bayonetta needs a long, good chill. Timmy, how do you feel about Bayonetta?
Honestly, like I don't face a lot, surprisingly, but like I can tell you it's an annoying matchup for Ness. It's really annoying for Ness.
Yes, like, it is.
Because she forces me to approach, and like the worst part if I try to follow up after PK Fire, I risk getting witch time. So I'm like, I'm not approaching her if I hit her with PK Fire anymore.
Yeah. Oh, and also, Timmy just posted the tier list to me. Yes, Jigglypuff actually is the worst in the game. Oh. But remember, guys, this is the tier list for one-on-one. We're talking one-on-one. We're not talking, like, you know, four-player and things like that, but we're talking one-on-one. Yeah,
that's a different story.
Yeah, so Jigglypuff is the worst in this game when it comes to one-on-one. So, yeah, oh, well, Jigglypuff the worst again. Oh, well, never gonna get Melee realness again. Hungry Box realness. Ugh. But, you know, I've been picking up, like, Ness. I've been doing a little more Ness lately. I've been playing as Sheik. I love Sheik. I've been trying to get into Mario, because Mario's a really easy character to get into. It's easy. It's not the easiest, but it's easy to get into Mario, you know?
Just look up Ally, then.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Also, I've been watching Timmy's Weeklies, which Timmy's going to talk about when he goes, but I've been watching Timmy play in the Weekly. It's SSB Montreal. It's a Canada, so, I'm not a Canadian. You know, I watch because I support Timmy, and I support the people there. It's really awesome. You guys should go check it out. The Twitch stream, I believe, is twitch.tv/SSBMontreal. You should check it out sometime. For Smash Brothers Wii U, they do weeklies every Thursday around 7 o'clock, I believe. 7 p.m. Eastern time. Right, Timmy? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go check it out sometime. And maybe Timmy will be there and you show support to Timmy. You'd be like, yes, God, Timmy. Yes, slay the scene. Best Ness in Canada. There you go. All right, but that's all I have to say. I've been just going on for too long. I'm sorry. But yeah, I've been doing that. Been getting frustrated with Bayonetta. And, like, of course, I'm playing a lot of Kirby and the Amazing Mirror in preparation for this podcast. So I'm an expert about the game. So if you have any questions, you can comment below and ask some questions. But yeah, that's it. That's all there is for me. There we go.
I'll go next because I'm not really doing much. School starts literally in 2 days, so hooray! I've been doing my college classes already, and I'm already frustrated because it turns out one of my college classes doesn't count as an English class for my school because it doesn't double up, so now I'm taking two English classes this year.
Ew.
So, yeah, I hate myself.
Ew.
Yeah, it's not really fun. Math is not doing much better because the lessons I'm given are not teaching me what I'm supposed to know with the questions, so I have to go basically watch the lesson because I have to go click the lesson stuff. And then I finish the lesson, and then, like, there's a 50% chance that the lesson I'm given is not actually teaching me what I'm supposed to learn. So then I have to go Google what I'm supposed to do online, which takes, like, 20 minutes to actually get down. So it is not fun. I'm not really having the best time in math, and for the first time, I'm probably going to need to get a tutor, and I really don't like doing that, because that's not... I'm not that type of person, so I'm literally, like, I hate it. I don't like the idea of math anyway.
Dark Boo's a tutor.
No. I like Boo and all, but that's not... I want to do it... No, it's not, like... It's not Boo in particular. I like doing it in person, so...
Oh, in person. Okay, I get you, yeah.
It's yeah. But other than that, I mentioned I'm playing Superstar Saga, which is... I think it's Superstar Saga. That's the first one. It's fun. It's kind of slow. It's a little slow. I might not... finish it in time for because it's November 21st. I'll finish it in time. I think it's November 21st when Pokemon Sun and Moon come out. I don't want to, you know, leave the game on the back burner and then never play it, because that's literally what happened with Amazing Mirror. I never finished it, and the only reason why I did to, you know, now was for the podcast. So
right,
I kind of don't, I want to finish it, but I'm like, this junior year, I was trying to make junior year my easiest year yet, but because I was taking my college classes, which were supposed to make it easier, everything's harder. Like, I have to take two English classes. All of my hard classes are my second semester junior year, and that's the year that colleges look at the most. So I'm sitting here like, I'm gonna die. Like, I'm taking a theater class that we have a new teacher, and from what I've heard, they're not a good teacher. I know I shouldn't really go off of that stuff, but... I trust the people who told me this. I have French 2, which is not going to be easy, because I'm learning French 1 this semester, so, yeah. What else do I have? I have an AP science class, and that AP science class is exceptionally hard simply because of the workload. The information isn't, it's not even hard, it's just not taught in a good way, so it makes it hard. It's just... and then I have another class I don't remember, but Oh, yeah, the second English class. So it's just, it's not a fun time this year. I'm really going to be stressed out, I feel like. Not this semester, but next semester. And it's going to be hot at that time of the year, so it's going to be, I'm not going to be in the best of mind the entire, like, 4 months, 5 months that it's going to be going on. And there's no Christmas or, you know, there's no Christmas break or holidays to look forward to like I have in the first semester. So it's not going to be a good time. I've predicted it. Huh. That's it.
I'm sorry. That really sucks.
No, it's fine. No, whatever.
Okay. So for me, mine's all about games. I've been playing a lot of games recently. So first off, Metroid Prime Federation Force. Starry, I know you're playing that.
Yes.
I didn't really think I was going to get this game, but then they asked me to do a guide on it, so I was like, okay. And it's okay. It's all right. I've only played it single player, so this is totally a multiplayer game, so I know I'm missing out. I'm definitely missing out. But it's not like Triforce Heroes, where I also did a guide on, so I played it by myself, and I still enjoyed it single player. Right now, I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, I kind of wish I was playing a real Metroid Prime game, but this is okay still. But we will get into that soon, because do you think we'll do a podcast on this game?
Yes, we will. I've been doing a lot of multiplayer Metroid Prime Federation Force.
You know, I've been hearing about it, and a lot of people don't like it. And as much as I am kind of upset, like, why isn't Samus the main character? It makes sense because you need multiple people, but I've heard it's actually not the worst game. No, so I kind of want to play it.
I haven't played single player.
I am upset. I'm still upset that they didn't include Samus. They did, but you know what I mean. And like, I want her to be in the game, like playable. It's just weird playing a Metroid game. It's like changing the cast of characters for no reason. Like, it's like that for me with this game.
Yeah, honestly, that's not even my issue. I mean, I'm fine with the characters who, like, these mech suits that you're in. You're not even a character, you're just somebody that you don't even know.
You're yourself.
You're yourself, basically, yeah. And that's not the problem. The problem for me is that it just doesn't feel that much like a Metroid game. Like, the atmosphere and, oh my gosh, especially the music, it just feels a little out of place. Like, the mechanics are still, like, Metroid Prime. And, like, I'm over here, I keep trying to I want to scan everything. There's no scanner. And it makes sense. The scanner doesn't fit for a game like this, but it's part of Metroid for me. Metroid Prime for me. So, I'll talk about it more in the actual podcast, but it's okay so far. Need to play some multiplayer. That's the thing. I've also been playing Apollo Justice, Ace Attorney, Apollo Justice. I don't think you guys care that much about that one.
I beat that game.
Is that the latest one?
That's the fourth one. The new one is the sixth one.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
Oh, never mind. I played the fourth one.
Oh, you played the fourth one, huh?
I didn't beat it, though.
Oh.
I lied. I said I beat it. I didn't beat it. I did play a little bit of it.
Oh.
Just because I wanted to see what it was about. I was like, oh, what is this? This looks like Ace Attorney. Like, Phoenix Wright. But I was like, oh. Kind of different.
What,
a bit.
Are you being sarcastic or are you serious?
I'm being serious. I played a little bit. Oh. I didn't beat the game. Oh my god! I'm not lying.
Okay. Yeah. This one's really interesting because it's the game where they kind of take Phoenix Wright and remove him from being the main character. You are somebody else. And it's interesting because this is the fourth game. The first three are with him. You play as him. Then this one you don't. And then in 5 and 6. He returns more as a main character. So it's kind of like the odd one out of the series. And a lot of people don't like it for that, but I really enjoyed it. FYI, that's my point here. And I can't really talk about it without spoiling a bunch of things. So I will move on to my next two games, which are Fast Racing Neo and Mario Party 10. I was at, shout out to Paul. It was his birthday. Yes.
Shout out to Paul.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, shout out.
On Thursday. It was his birthday on Thursday. And I went over there and I brought the Wii U and we played Fast Racing Neo and he was totally into it. We played four-player multiplayer on his giant projector screen and it was awesome. It was really, really intense and really, really cool. And I totally want to get back into that game because it's just It's a very solid game. Very solid racer. And just like that sense of speed is so cool.
No. Online sucks.
They did update it, so they might have fixed some stuff.
Oh, well, if they did, that's cool, because I'm just saying, when I played with you and Boo, the online was terrible, because it kept lagging to the point where I would say, oh, I'm in front of you guys, and like, no, you guys would be in front of me, and just like, what's going on? It's really confusing.
Well, they also added a mini-map, so you can see where everyone's at, so that's really helpful. Yeah, so I am definitely looking forward to playing some more of that, and Mario freaking Party 10, I really like this game. I think it's a very solid Mario Party game. It's different, yeah, and it's not fair all the time, but when is Mario Party ever fair?
Always. not on 6, with privilege.
Oh,
with SC's privilege.
You mean skill.
Check your privilege.
You mean...
Oh, that skill? You getting golden mushroom at first place and fourth place getting spiny orb and all that crap? Yeah, that skill.
Timmy,
yeah, go buy it. You know it's
tell
true.
Us what the truth is. You know Mario Party 6 the best.
Everyone knows I beat SC in Mario Party 6 and all of you know, so...
When have I even played with you? What the... Timmy...
He's like, if he did play with you...
Yeah, because you would destroy every living person, obviously. You don't have to single me out.
Jeez. I don't know, Timmy, because SC has a lot of privilege when it comes to Mario Party 6 and Mario Party 7. He has so much privilege. But let's not interrupt SC, because he wants to talk about Mario Party 10. But yes. Yeah, he has privilege.
Yes. The game recognizes that I'm the best, so it gives me privilege. Yes, sure.
Get over yourself.
Anyway, Mario Party 10, very, very good. Very, very good. We played 2 rounds of Bowser Party, and we almost got to the end both times. And it gets so hectic and so intense, because like at one point, I was the only one left with 1 heart, and my whole team was out, and we had to do the Bowser minigame, and I for somehow won. I didn't get hurt, but then, you know, chaos in the next turn, everything went out the window. But it's a really, really cool idea, Bowser Party, and it's just very fresh for the series, especially when they keep trying new things and they kind of falter at times. This one really works, I think. And even the normal Mario Party mode, it's still fun. I'm still not happy about losing half your mini stars at random points. Not as big of a problem as it was in Mario Party 9, but it's still a problem. But, yeah, played those 2 games. They're really fun. Mario Party 10 especially. I really like that game.
Yeah. Okay, so as for me,
Timmy.
First off, I've been replaying the Mario and Luigi game, so I'm from... So I went from Paper Jam, I beat that out, which, by the way, is a decent game, but very generic. So
yeah,
Paper Toads. Oh my god, those everywhere. let me see. I've been playing Partners in Time. I just finished it recently, and I actually really, really like that game. I don't know why most consider that as the most, as the least enjoyable of the series. I still really enjoyed it. Then, as of now, I'm playing Bowser's Inside Story. I'm not that far. I'm at, Dimble Wood with Bowser now, but still having a good time with it. Aside from that, I've been getting a lot more involved with the Smash community since I was last on here. Hey?
Yes.
Yeah, so, talk all about obviously, that. So, I've had some, I guess... personal challenges, with the Smash community and college, because, I got more involved when I started college, but then, had some challenges to deal with, and conflicts between me and a certain member whose name I will not mention.
Ooh.
but, as I get more involved with the Smash community, I find my real friends, especially Kel, shout out to her for being... my best friend ever.
Shout out to Supergirl Kels, yes.
She really cares about everyone, and she's an inspiration, someone to always look up to, always keeps everyone happy, and one day I'll be a part of her crew. speaking of crews, I'm part of EFB, aka Even Further Beyond, which
Ooh.
It's a group of friends, and we break the limits and have a good time doing it.
Ooh, do you break shields as well?
Oh, yeah, that for sure. let me see. I've been going to more tournaments. for the most part, I've been placing top 8, and I get some money for doing that. Hey!
Woo! Cash! Yes!
And as of now, I mean, I have been a bit inactive in Smash during the summer, because, you know, transport is expensive. But, you know, with the power rankings, you know, at first I was number 9, but now I'm number 12. But it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just going to motivate me to work harder and keep doing what I love doing best, especially with my NES.
Yeah.
And I've been playing a lot of online as well. Having fun trolling people on For Glory with my secondaries and with my friends as well. And that's about it for me.
Yeah, just like I mentioned earlier, mention the Twitch one more time, just so people, like, can watch you.
Oh, right. If you want to watch me at the weeklies, on Thursdays at 7 p.m. EST, tune in to twitch.tv/SSBMontreal. You'll probably see me there.
Ooh. Yes! Timmy Tang! Best NES in Canada! Yes! Alright, that is it for our podcast. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. And two comments before we get into any information. You could definitely consider purchasing Kirby the Amazing Mirror, because it's a great game. Consider it. Just consider it. It's only $10, all right? If it was, like, $40, okay. But it's only $10, so definitely consider getting it if you're a fan of retro games and things like that. And also, thank you, Timmy, so much for joining us today. Oh, my God. It was so great to have you on after so long. Because, being serious, it has been, I think, over 100 episodes, I think. So it's been a while. So it's so great to hear your voice again and have the viewers hear you again. To hear Timmy, yes. So let's get into our ending information. You can subscribe to the Lost Levels podcast on iTunes. Make sure to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us grow. Give us 5-star views. Bam. You can find all our podcasts, you can find all our past episodes at our website, thelostlevels.marpylegacy.com. And our Mario News and Community at MarioPartyLegacy.com. Follow Lost Levels on all of our social media. On Twitter, we're at Lost Levels MPL. You can find our Facebook, Facebook.com/TheLostLevels. Tumblr, TheLostLevelsPodcast.tumblr.com. And our YouTube, YouTube.com/User/TheLostLevelsMPL. And also, if you're listening to this on YouTube right now, give this video a big thumbs up. Yes, hit that like button. And let's mention all of our social media. For me, I am SpiderStarYou everywhere around this planet, around this universe. I'm everywhere. I'm on Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Facebook, Nintendo Network, and Google+. All of it is SpiderStarYou, so definitely go check me out. I'm doing some Mario Party 10 videos, so you can see me play some Mario Party 10 and get pissed a little bit, just a little bit. And I'm doing some more face cam videos so you can see my gorgeous, handsome face and get mesmerized by me. And just, but yeah, but watch my Mario Party 10 videos, because that is, some of them are just so much fun, how I have such bad luck and then I get good luck. Or sometimes I just get good luck at the beginning and I get screwed up later on. So you go check them out. It's on my YouTube channel. And that's it.
Okay, as for me, you know the drill. Compete on Nintendo Network, maybe I'll get back onto it. I probably won't. I was gonna say that. Maybe I'll catalog my experience through Mario & Luigi. Yeah, I probably won't. It's pretty fun. I'll say that. I mean, maybe I'll update next week or when I come back, you know, and talk about it some more. But it's not really much I wanted. I haven't really gotten too far into it, so it's just, I'll talk about it probably next week.
So you can find me on Twitter and YouTube, Super Zambazy. And I never mentioned this, but I did a Nintendo news vlog segment thing where I'm on camera and I talk about the Nintendo news. Oh boy. Yeah, I uploaded that like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Made 2 episodes, and I changed it yesterday to the Nintendo trivia vlog because I really like quizzes and trivia, so I put that up yesterday. Go search that on YouTube, Nintendo Trivia Block, and find that. And answer the questions, please.
As for me, if you want to follow me, I'm Mr. Timtendo on Twitter and YouTube. And I also have my Nintendo Network ID. If you ever want to play Smash 4 with me, it's Timmy Tendo. And that is it.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Timmy, so much for joining us today. And we will see you guys next time. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.